Giants baseball coming up. Marty Lurie here with our philosopher, and that is Tony Watson. 20 games in 20 days. When you and I started this a couple of weeks ago, you're just getting into it. You still got some more days coming up. What's it been like?
Well, we're in it. We're back home, so that's always good. You know, felt like we were in L.A. for 2 weeks with the four-game night game series there. But, you know, it's always good to be back home, and we got a couple series left here before we get the 4th of July off, which is still weird for me. But, feeling good. I think most of the guys are feeling good, but it's just one of those parts of the schedule that you got to get through and, you know, hopefully win as many games as you can.
What do you think of the comeback Thursday night with the replay and vote and all that stuff? And what's your take on it?
Yeah, that was a weird inning. You know, I was warming up with Will Smith. Obviously, if we take the lead there, he's going to go in and close. And if we had tied it up there, I was going to come in. But, you know, vote slides in. I think everybody knew what was going on with the bunt. And Cody Bellinger made a really nice play. And, you know, if you watch it closely, it's pretty interesting to see that he comes up throwing to third. And the catcher, Austin Barnes, he almost got hit right in the face. So it's just a weird play. And it's a tough bounce that didn't go our way. And obviously, everybody saw that. You know, Buster hits one to the track, the next batter, and a lot of what-ifs there, but that's the baseball season, and the ball didn't bounce our way that night.
Yeah, I miss seeing the arguments, because you can't argue. I mean, you know, Bochy flipped a book in his clubhouse, so, you know, in his office when it ended. That's as mad as you can get. You can't get mad at anybody.
Yeah, the old Earl Weavers of the world are gone. Lou Piniella kicking the base out. I mean, sometimes I miss that. I mean, that's entertainment for the fans, right? It's all about entertainment. So I guess, on these bang-bang plays, maybe they can just, instead of even challenging, just go out and argue right away because, you know, maybe they'll come back with the old inconclusive that they keep coming back with. But, you know, we're trying to get it right, and replay system is in place for a reason. So, you know, it was a tough loss, but, you know, definitely one that, like I said, what a big what if.
Yeah. Someone suggested this, Tony Watson, our philosopher with us, that when the umpires look at the replay, they shouldn't know what the call was. In other words, they should just make the call and what they see.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with that. I think I've never been in the replay booth in New York City, and I don't know how that whole operation, you know, goes down, what the chain of command is there. But, yeah, I think on a play like that where, you know, it's nothing there to overturn it, and the call is what it is on the field. I mean, I think those are tough ones. And but the whole idea is to get them right. I mean, if it's Game 7 of the World Series and there's a play at the plate, I mean, you'd hate to I've lost a game in the 18th inning with a play at the plate that wasn't even close in Atlanta, and the guy didn't even get to the batter's box, and we got walked off because he called him safe, and there was no replay in place. So those ones are tough. I mean, these ones that are bang-bang at the play, they're inconclusive. Yeah, they can go either way, but, you know, replay's really in place for these ones that are so bad that, you know, they need to be changed, and everybody knows it.
Yeah, that's the way it came about. Last week, when you were on with us, you sort of teased us a little bit with, I talked about Jim Palmer with his pregame routine of eating pancakes. You had Wade Boggs with the chicken, and you said you have a pregame routine, and I'm waiting to hear what it is.
Yeah, I mean, I don't eat anything. I don't eat a chicken sandwich, and I don't have a protein shake or anything crazy like that, or a glass of milk. But I have my routine. I've, you know, we're in the middle of 20 games in 20 days, so it's a long year, and it's been a lot of trial and error to figure out this routine and what works for me, what works doesn't work for me. You know, every morning you wake up, your body's going to be feeling a little different than the day before, and you know, you got to figure out a way to be the same guy every day, and that's just part of being a pro and showing up and taking care of your business. So I've, over the years, just, you know, tinkered with things here and there, and I'm a big workout guy, so I'm always in the weight room making sure I do stuff, but mainly my thing's more time-based. You know, when I get to the field, I'm going to be, you know, spend 35, 45 minutes in the weight room, make sure I can get my body right, and then, you know, check out some scouting report stuff. You know, what did I see last night in the game that going forward? For instance, we just played these Diamondbacks here. We got them 7 games in 10 days. So, you know, you might face, in Arizona, I faced Christian Walker, Nick Ahmed twice in 2 nights. So it's almost like your second time through the lineup as a starter there. You get to play a little chess match with them, so you're watching video on them. What did they change? Maybe they did something different. Talk to the analytics guys, just bounce questions off and just try to stay on top of things, and then come out here and get your throwing in, make sure you're doing all your flat ground stuff, making sure your pitches are, you know, spinning the ball baseball right, and then, you know, shagging BP and going up and getting a nice meal and going out for the game. So no blueberry pancakes or anything crazy for me, but I'm not superstitious like that. I don't have any of those weird things. I don't put my left sock on first or anything like that. But yeah, I do. I try to be the same guy every day. And I think over the course of the year, with all the ups and downs and the roller coaster of 162 games, if you keep showing up and clocking in and doing the same thing, I think consistency always wins out. So that's what I've tried to do, and you know, it's worked well for me.
All right. So here's the question: what's your favorite pregame meal?
Well, that's a tough one. Some days I really, it's probably going to rub people the wrong way, but I mean, in LA, we get the Dodger dogs in the clubhouse. Those aren't bad. I can do a couple Dodger dogs. You know, the in and out sometimes. You know, now everybody's trying to do the healthy stuff, a side of quinoa, chicken breast. That's always good. That's always fun. But I'm a baseball. It's like when you're a travel ball team or something. You know, you're eating peanut butter and jelly and Snickers and a Mountain Dew, and you're going out and playing it. I don't do the Mountain Dews anymore, but I'll do the occasional peanut butter and jelly. And you know, it's just old reliable. It's like you're in the minor leagues. You got to have peanut butter and jelly every now and then, and it's always available. It's always going to be good.
All right. The big leagues, you get to eat what you want. Now, that's pretty good. All right. I was thinking about this. You mentioned superstitions. You don't have many, but you must have been around players who, you know, don't touch the foul line or kick the base and all that. You remember any?
Yeah, I mean, I like watching guys just to see what they do. Infielders, how they run out to their positions. You know, you'll see a lot of them touch third base, first base. You know, when they get the ground ball between innings, what are they doing? I like to see if they're writing in the dirt. You know, some guys don't even go on the dirt. They run around. You know, if, say, you're going to right field from our dugout here at Oracle, and they're going to right field, and they don't even run on the dirt. They run in the outfield the whole way. I always think that's interesting, this quirkiness, little things. Pitchers, there's some relief pitchers that have had some wild things. I mean, you know, like I mentioned earlier, the socks first. You know, definitely times for stretching within the game. If they're late, they're all messed up. It's, you know, and I had never really bought into that. It's not going to make you pitch any better or any worse. You know, I've heard a story about a starting pitcher that wanted to have a chicken sandwich like 45 minutes before his start every time. And you know, if he doesn't have it, it's going to be a mess. And I just laugh at that, thinking about, you know, how is that going to affect you throwing balls or strikes tonight? But, you know, guys, you know, a starter's warming up. I've heard a starter's warming up for the game, and then they want two pieces of sugar-free bubble gum from the bullpen catcher handed to him before he gets on the mound. And it's like, oh my gosh, that's just kind of, you're kind of getting down the wrong path there. But hey, whatever makes guys tick, and if that guy's going 7-8 innings that night, I mean, better get him the gum.
Anybody on this team have a superstition? Anyone that you think of?
I can't think of any, like, yeah, crazy off the top of my head.
I used to write in the dirt,
Pablo. Yeah, I mean, I see you watch Crawford run to shortstop here. He always runs inside the line here. I've noticed that. You know, I'm going to start watching, too. Maybe guys set their gloves down a certain way on the step, stuff like that. You know, those guys, sometimes with their position players, one thing I always try to do, I don't think it's superstition, but I think it's just kind of out of respect. I don't ever try to touch the hitter's bats. If there's a bat laying on the ground, you know, if I'm a hitter, I don't want a relief pitcher touching my bat. You know, might get some bad juju in there. So I'll just, you know, politely step over it, but leave it sitting there, and I don't really I don't feel like it's my place to be touching any hitters' bats.
I like it. Yeah. See, you do have one. Very good. We learn things on this show. You've got a superstition. Very good. The one story I'll tell you, Leo DeRocher, the great manager of the Giants and the Hall of Fame manager, managed the Cubs and the Dodgers. He always liked to have the bats in those days would be in front of the dugout, yeah. And they always set a certain way. Well, the players would mess with them and mess up the bats. And it would drive him crazy. And that's what they used to do to him. He was the manager of the team. Now, can you imagine doing something like that to Bochy?
No, I mean, I can't. Sometimes guys will rattle the bats around, you know, wake them up, joking around in the bat rack. Speaking of bats and how you, I've noticed, or I didn't notice people talk about it, but when Ichiro would walk, if you notice, he would always set the bat down. He'd always treat it with the utmost respect, not ever get it dirty or scuffed up, and he'd set it in the grass, and then, you know, if he could run back and get it before the bat boy, he would take it from him, and he'd always place it. He had his little square on the bench at the dugout, and he always put it back in the same spot. So just quirky little things, but it's what make guys tick.
Yeah, no, a great part of baseball. That's the philosophy of baseball with Tony Watson. Yankees and Red Sox are this weekend in London. Playing 60,000, 250 pounds for a ticket, which is like $350. So my thought for you is, first, they went over there in this magnificent jet, you know, this Boeing 7777, whatever, first class seats all the way and all that. So I'm thinking about you. I said, gee, I wonder if Tony's ever traveled to Europe. Have you ever been in Europe before?
I've not gone to Europe. It's one thing we want to do. Now we get the kids, we're probably not going to do it for about a decade or so, but yeah, it's something that we've always been interested in. My in-laws have been over there. They love it. I mean, there's so much history over there and different cultures and just a part of the world that, you know, I'd like to see someday. But I think it's great that our game is going global like this. And even though the field's 330 down the lines and 385 in dead center, it'll be interesting. I'm not envying those guys on the mound. But, yeah, it's what a great setup. I'm sure London did a great job, and I'm sure it'll be a great weekend for those guys.
Yeah, as I say, we get excited with a building that's 200 years old. Their buildings there are from the year 200.
That's right. That's exactly right. And it's, you know, it makes put things in perspective. And but yeah, it's the history and everything that's gone on in Europe and all the sites and that you can see over there. It'd be really cool one day to go over there. I'd be curious to talk to these guys and see what they're able to do. I'm sure they're doing some ambassador stuff out there in the city. You know, they have 2 days off over there with the time change. So I'm sure they've got some great experiences. And, you know, hey, for some of these guys, that might be the only time they're ever going to go to Europe. So what a great deal for them.
And they got $60,000 for spending money.
Yeah, that'll help too. I mean, I don't know what that is in pounds, but that'll work.
Well, let's see. In pounds... I'd say it's probably 40,000 pounds.
Okay.
That's not bad.
Yeah, that's not bad at all. I think that'll work for a 5-6 hour flight across the pond in a, you know, deluxe charter jet.
Yeah. All right, that's the part of baseball we like. I was thinking about this this week, too. Catchers and pitchers like favorite catchers. And I think of Greg Maddux. And then you see sort of guys once a week will catch his day and do that. Anything like that for you? Do you ever have a catcher that you like to pitch to more than anyone else? And what do you think about it?
Yeah, I mean, for me, this is... back when I was a starting pitcher, it was more important for me. As a reliever, you're coming in one inning, and, you know, I don't think it really matters. You know, I've never really had, like, a guy that I have to throw to. I mean, you touched on it. There's certain guys that will catch certain pitchers every fifth day just because they have a great relationship with them. And it just – that's how the season ends up, and guys need to rest, and – you know, Buster can't catch every day. Steven Boat's got to catch some days, and some days the guy lands on the same guy every day. But it's just more of a feel thing. I mean, you know, when I was a starting pitcher in the minor leagues, you'd have the same guy every fifth day. But, you know, he'd know what you were doing in your bullpen and what you were working on and how you – that's development phase, obviously. So you're working on different things. So it was just more of a comfort thing. And, you know, where were you throwing those pitches in the bullpen 3 days ago? He knows where to set up on the plate. And as a reliever, though, look, you got to go in. You got 15, 20 pitches, and you got to attack, and you're in attack mode. So they're always on the same page with you there. It's it's the ones I like are the ones that help you get through the inning, for sure.
And they'll come out and talk to you.
Yeah, right. If they're using a mound visit on you, it's, you know, yeah, something else is going on, and it's not going well for you that night.
No, you don't want anyone to talk to you, not when you come in out of the bullpen. You've been out there too long if that's going on. Funny, we've seen so many bunt plays in the last couple of weeks. I mean, we saw Belt crashing. We saw a second baseman crash. Bellinger made the play you referred to in the Dodger series. So I thought about you. I said, you come into a game, and there's always a bunting situation because there's people on base when they bring you in. What's your toughest bunt play?
Well, I don't want to give away the scatter report, I guess, but
it is a tough bunt play.
The thing with bunts now is the shifts are going on. So, you know, you got the middle of the order left-handed bats that are, you know, we got the overshift on, and you're leaving the whole left side of the infield open, and, you know, you'll see Longoria or Pablo, the third baseman, whoever it is, go to the other side of the bag, and you know, late in the game, I mean, you don't want to have traffic on the bases, depending on the score, obviously. But you don't want to pitch with traffic, and you want to minimize how many guys you can get on base. So, look, it doesn't matter. I read a quote from Matt Olson over across the bay in Oakland. He said, "There's never a bad time to lay down a bunt against the shift." And look, I kind of agree with him. I mean, if they're just going to give it to you, we've seen Belt do it a couple of times where, you know, if they're just going to give you a hit. You know, it's a runner on base. I mean, some guys struggle controlling the running game, and the deeper you get in the game, some guys are slower to the plate, and, you know, you rush pitches, you take your focus off the hitter, and all of a sudden you elevate a fastball, and there's a double in the gap, or here, triples alley, and you can score a run easy that way. So, for me, I think the toughest bunt of being a lefty is obviously the one on third base when nobody's home, and you got to get around the baseball and get your feet set and make the throw to third. But we saw Melanson make a great play in Arizona it was a swinging bunt, but similar, where you got to cross the runner into the first baseline and throw behind. Might have been a foul ball, but. That's another story for replay that we already touched on, but that's a tough one too. I mean, you're throwing on the run. There's a guy, you know, three guys moving at the same angle. You're trying to go to the base, and you know, one of those ones you just got to make happen. But you know, it's interesting. You know, when you first started spring training, you're always doing the same bunt plays, and I think it's pretty universal what everybody's trying to do with bunt plays, but now with the shifts and stuff, I mean, there's some different situations.
Okay.
One of the hardest ones really now is the comeback or double play. I mean, you got the shifts, and if they bunt it hard back to you, you know, there's, you know, the second baseman's coming from way over in the hole, or shortstops. It's just unfamiliar territory, so it's you know, it's not the traditional me and you up the middle. It's, you know, it might be you coming from way over in the hole, and it's different angle, so it's a lot harder double play.
Yeah. No, great answer. No, very good. You covered it really well. That's a good philosophy of baseball from Tony Watson. The Mets had an interesting week, not winning many games, and the manager blew up at a reporter. Jason Vargas threatened a reporter. And I know there's a lot of tension as you go through a season, especially if things are not going well. But your thoughts on that, because you deal with the media. What's your approach?
That's unfortunate. I mean, that's a whole different beast, too, there. I've never been in a Mets clubhouse, but, yeah, New York is, you know, obviously there's plenty of media there, and everybody's got a job to do. You know, we've got a job to be professional and go out there and do your job, and the media's got a job to come in and report and let the fans know. I mean, you know, obviously you're part of the media here, and people write to you and want to know what's going on. They want you to ask questions. Some, you know, every beat writer is the same. They got a job to do, and they got to write the stories. And so I think, you know, it goes both ways, and you got to have respect, and it's a two-way street here. They got to respect you, and you got to respect them. And it's a long year for everybody, but these things do happen, unfortunately, and you know, sometimes teams aren't playing well, and you know, tension just builds up, and it was unfortunate, but you know, obviously in New York, it makes it a bigger story too, and everybody talks about it. But yeah, it's just you gotta be a professional about everything and answer questions and stand up and be in front of your locker if it doesn't go your way, or be in front of your locker if it does go your way, and answer the questions. And they got a job to do, we got a job to do, and just respect each other, and everything else will be good, I think.
Yeah, this one looked like a miscommunication. The guy happened to say, "See you tomorrow." And, of course, the manager probably thought, "You mean I'm getting fired, or I'll be here tomorrow?" Because it was a tough loss. Diaz or someone had given up the home run. So who knows? But you're right. Dennis Eckersley was the best. Yeah. I mean, he would stand there. He didn't have to do it too many times.
Yeah.
But he would stay at his locker, and he would answer every question. And I thought he was really good at it.
Yeah, and I think that shows you what kind of man you are. And, if you're not a guy that's going to stand up. And I remember, I think it was New York again, maybe it was Philadelphia, but Billy Wagner, they had been struggling, and everybody left the clubhouse, and he didn't even pitch that day, and he was getting interviewed, and he snapped because he didn't, "Why are you asking me questions? I didn't even do anything." But, it's, you got to be there, and you got to be available, and, answer questions and talk to them, and they got a job to do, and you got a job to do.
Yeah, it's part of the job. All right, we go to the lighter side of life as we look at players and who they would be if they weren't baseball players. Let's start with Stephen Vogt.
Steve Vogt would be a outstanding high school principal, I think.
Okay.
He's got great energy. He's great. Would be great with the kids. Motivating. Keeping them on the right track. And honestly, I think Vogt's probably one of the funniest, if not the funniest, guy I've ever played with in baseball. He's got a great sense of humor. I'm sure everybody's seen the whole referee skit that he does, and just a great guy to have in the clubhouse. Keeps things loose. Super involved with, preparation of the game, obviously, as a catcher, and knows the game, and just a baseball nut. But, he's got a great way to keep everybody loose and show up every day. And he's got a smile on his face every day. He's the same guy. And so I think, yeah, those qualities, I think, would go a long way as a high school principal, mentor to some teenagers to, throw them into adulthood.
Well, I was thinking along what you just said. He's a funny guy, and he's always available. He's a guy who stands up. I'm going to make him a stand-up comedian.
Okay.
Stand there, and he's got a good routine, maybe a little Rodney Dangerfield guy, not getting any respect or something like that, but stand-up comedian.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, yeah. He could be a high school principal and comedian on the night and in the weekends. So I think he'd have a great skit for sure.
Right, very good. I think we got him down. All right, how about Bumgarner?
Well, Bum's going to be a cowboy. I mean, he could be a I could see him going back to North Carolina, and if he wasn't playing baseball, he'd be like the county sheriff.
No, very good.
And just keeping things, he's like Wyatt Earp.
He's like that.
Yeah,
here.
Exactly. And he knows everybody back there. Everybody knows him. I'm sure he'd just, he'd just go by the first name, like Andy Taylor and Mayberry. It'd just be like, "This is Bum. It's here he comes," and he'd keep the county clean for sure.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I'm putting him on a cattle drive.
Okay.
Because cattle have to get on trains, or in the old days they had to be driven from Abilene, from part of Texas into Kansas or stuff like that. I'm putting him on a horse driving cattle.
Yeah, and I don't know if he'd be in the lead or he'd be right in the middle of them all, and I could definitely see that for sure. He might have already done that, honestly, and we just don't know about it. But yeah, he'd be very good at anything ranching.
Yeah, I think we nailed him. All right, let's talk about you, and I'll go first. And all right, this is Tony Watson. What is he if he's not a baseball pitcher? And I'm thinking about this. I'm going to put a bow tie on you, and I'm going to make you a college professor. A college professor with a bow tie and glasses and coming in and talking to like a room of about 150 people about some sort of social life.
Okay.
Something that has to do with psychology or social.
Yeah, I'd have to graduate college first to be a college professor. So, but yeah, I can see that. I mean, I've always been interested in psych, and sociology was my major in college. So, you sound like a lawyer. You know your clients well, but Yeah, I think one of my things, my family's always been in athletic administration, and my grandfather did it. My dad did it for forever. He just retired, and my uncles do it. And yeah, I think it'd be something, that's always something that I thought about. I thought, you know, maybe even like the college level would be fun, you know, overseeing a program. But you know, there's a lot that goes into it, a lot of organization, communication, and but it's, you know, stay around sports. I've always enjoyed sports, and you know, a leadership type role in sports would be something that I would really enjoy.
Do you own a bow tie?
I do have a bow tie. I don't think it's a real one, though. I think it's a clip-on. But yeah, you know, if I was a professor, I'm just thinking back of some of my professors. You know, the professor that dressed up with the bow tie, I mean, you were serious. So, you know, talk about getting your students' attention right away. That'd be the best way to do it, walk in with a bow tie.
I like it. All right, another wonderful conversation about baseball. I love these. These are really good, and I know the fans appreciate it. So have a good rest of the 2020, and then at San Diego, of course, to finish it up, July 4th off, yep. And then St. Louis. So we'll see each other next Friday, and the Cardinals come in town.
All right, that sounds good. You have a great 4th of July. It's really weird for me not to be playing baseball on the 4th of July, but it'll be good to be with family and hopefully watch some fireworks somewhere.
All right. That's Tony Watson. More coming up, KNBR 680, the sports leader.